If you are married here, you want to really pay attention and take notes. If you're not married here, you want to really pay attention and take notes. All right? Last time, before Resurrection Sunday, Tina and I talked about three areas of the top 10 questions that we assembled. By the way, the Discovering Healthy Relationships manuals of where I answered all the questions I can't do publicly are here today. So they're $2 each. Some of you ordered them. You could pick yours up if you've already paid for them, and you could do that after the service. But last time we talked about how can I communicate more effectively without prompting an argument or being disrespectful. And one of the things that we said that is critical, I'm just going to give you a quick review, is when you talk to your spouse or a person that you're in a relationship with, don't just listen to the words that they're saying, but go deeper and get to understand their heart. Because sometimes we don't verbalize accurately what we really are trying to communicate or who we are. And if we are inaccurate in our wording and you hear what I did not mean to say and you don't know what my heart really would have said, we're going to have a flare-up. But if you'll give me that opportunity as a person in your life to know my heart, then we won't have as many arguments or as many misunderstandings. That's one of the things we talked about. Number two, how do you keep the love life exciting? We said in order to keep romance in a relationship, it starts at the breakfast table. What does that mean? Guys, if your wife is emotionally on empty and you physically are aroused on full, you're going to have a problem. Because a woman wants to be emotionally invested in her physical relationships. If you can learn that early and at the breakfast table, start preparing for the day. Serve coffee, put the newspaper down, look at her eyes, talk to her, how is she feeling? And you begin to serve that relationship throughout the day. We talked about a lot of other things, discovering love languages, becoming fluent in it, become an affectionate person, learn how to celebrate them, schedule time together, etc. Then the third question that we dealt with was how do we minimize the my child, your child syndrome in a blended family? A lot of people are having trouble with that today. Blended families are not easy. One of the things we said that is critical is you got to put the child first. Because a child comes into a relationship blended because a lot of times they're hurt, they're insecure, and they want to be understood. And all of a sudden now their dad's not there or their mom's not there. And you're not my dad and you're not my mom. And if you try to force feed the authority that you think you carry without addressing the hurt or the misunderstanding or gaining the trust, you're going to have lots of problems. I'm very happy to announce that we have people who have stepped up to the plate and said, we're going to create a small group for people with blended families. And Brian, where are you guys at? There, stand up there for me. And who else is going to do that? Papa and you guys? Yeah, stand up. They're going to oversee and help us get a small group for blended families. So just pay attention, and that will be coming up very shortly. So those are some of the areas we talked about last time. Now, today, the first thing I want to address is, what do you do when you recognize you and your spouse have grown apart? Now, that happens over time, and here's the main reason. When you get married and have a family, you become event-centered. You become activity-related. What do I mean? Are you taking the kids to soccer, or am I? Who's picking them up after school? Don't forget it's your mother's birthday this week. You better get her something. All right, got it. In other words, it's like a corporation with directives. Both of you are in the same corporation, and all you do is have conversation about what you do and not about who you are or about who you are becoming. Let me just throw this out here. Guys, as a young man, if you get married and your spouse is young, say your wife is 20 years old, Let me just help you. If you don't take the moment to really stay connected with about who she is and who she's becoming, when she's 32, she will not put up with what you get away with now. Because she'll become more confident of who she is, she'll become more mature, and she'll understand that she does not have to be treated like this. So if you don't get to know who she's becoming, and all you do is relate to her as how you met her, you are in big trouble. Same way, wife to husband. So we got to be careful that we don't become event related. All we do is talk about what we do. Hey, we're going on vacation. Hey, don't forget to take the garbage down. Hey, don't forget after work, I'm going over here. By the way, we got so-and-so coming over for dinner tonight. Don't forget to stop at the grocery store and pick up that and pick up this so I can make the dinner. What do you mean you forgot? I told you this morning I needed this stuff. What were you thinking? So all of it is about centered around what we do and not who we are. The other night, I took my daughter out for her birthday along with my grandchildren. They are all sitting there with their telephones. And I said, let's put our phones down. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. So I asked my eldest grandson that was at the table, I said, ask me some questions. He said, about what? I said, about me. Well, I know about you. I said, okay, tell me something about me. You're a pastor. I said, no, that's what I do. Well, you go to church. That's what I do. I said, what's my favorite color? He goes, I don't know. Green? Blue? I said, it's blue. He says, it is? I said, yeah. I said, how many siblings do I have? He goes, five, six? I said, no. I said, what are their names? I don't know. You don't even know your uncle's name? Yeah, I do, but I can't remember it. Do you know where I grew up at? Do you know what my mother's name was? Do you know anything about me other than I'm Papa with the money in the back pocket when you want something? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? It illustrated for me that in a marriage, you tend to grow apart when you go from one cycle to the next. The first cycle is romance. It's just you and him. And all of a sudden you get pregnant, you have a baby, now there's an intrusion in your relationship. All the focus is now on that child, and your relationship can be centered around that child's development and growth. Whether it's academics, whether it's teaching them their colors, whether it's getting them to preschool or watching them throw their first pitch. Nothing wrong with those things, but if you don't purpose to stay connected, when you get to be 30 years in and the kids are gone, you look across the living room and you go, who are you? And what are you doing in my house? It happens very quickly. So along the way, there's some things that we need to do. Number one is have conversations around feelings and not facts. How did you feel when your mother canceled the last minute for dinner? I can only imagine how you were crushed. And then give her the time to express herself. And don't categorize it and say, well, your mother always does that. That's why I never wanted to ask her. I told you if you wouldn't, I told you not to ask her anyway, because she always cancels. Now all of a sudden you have leaned back into the whole event corporate mentality. You're offering dictates. You're not understanding and you're not connecting on an emotional level, and you're not asking feeling-oriented questions. Dads do this a lot with their children. We're going to get into this with parenting. But when a child on the bottom of the ninth and bases are loaded and you're down by two runs and he strikes out, called strike the last pitch, and you go to him after the game and you say, son, I told you don't dip your shoulder. I know that was a crummy call. That ump is blind. How about asking this? How did you feel when you had that third strike called? And did you feel like you let your team down? Now, that has a whole lot more depth to it than you trying to school him or complain about the stupid umpire who needs glasses that didn't see that that wasn't a strike. There's a difference in relationships. And along the journey and cycles, children, young babies, children, young adult, teenagers, young adults. Before you know it, you're facing retirement. This morning, on April 1st, I should say, this morning I'm reflecting back April 1st, I am fully covered in health coverage. You know, isn't that wonderful? You say, what's the big deal? Well, March 31st, I had a 80% coverage. At the church health coverage was 80%. And I had a $2,500 deductible. And no prescription coverage, no glasses, no dental. On April 1st, I got Medicare. Guess what? I am fully covered. So what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with a lot. Because life changes. And it changes things. And if you think that where you are now is based on where you were with that person, you're disconnecting. We have to stay current with the individual. What can we do to stay current? All right, I gave you the first thing. Have a conversation around feelings. Number two, early on the marriage, what Tina and I did is we would go to Red Roof Inn for the weekend. Now, the reason why we went to Red Roof is because we couldn't afford anything else. That's all the money we had. We had to scrape it together to do that. But here's what we did. We went to Red Roof Inn, and I sat down and told her what difficulty I was having with the way she was relating to me. Yes, I did. However, she then told me what difficulty she was having with me in relationship to her. Can I tell you, she did most of the talking. Because I'd come up with one or two things, but she would come up with a laundry list of things that I needed to adjust and change in. Now, here's the thing about that. When we had children, we had them rapid fire. Mary was born. Suddenly, 17 months later, April was born. 17 months later, Rebecca was born. We had three children, all in diapers, and she was taking care of them. I thought, traditionally, men did the outside work, women did the inside work, including raising the kids. How many know that wasn't a good thing? All right. We had conversation about that. The other thing, I came from a strict disciplinarian home. My wife had 10 brothers and sisters. You didn't worry about whose laundry it was. You just tried to find laundry. I'll never forget the day when I went down to their basement and they showed me their laundry pile. It nearly went to the ceiling of the basement. My mother ironed my t-shirts. She folded my towels for me. She put my socks together in my drawer and it was lined up. My wife, her closet, she couldn't even close the door. I said, how do you find it? She says, it's in there. Totally different. So when it came to our kids, I'm like, they need to do this. This is how they need to do it. And they better do it now. And if they don't do it, I'm going to raise my voice and I'm going to yell at them. You better do it because I'm the father. You hear me? And Tina would step in and she'd say, hey, those are my kids. Don't talk to them like that. I said, what do you mean don't talk to them like that? She goes, here's the problem we have at the Red Roof Inn. She looked at me with tears in her face, passion in her face, tears in her eyes. She said this. I am tired of you putting me between our kids and you. I can't live like that. And I went, whoa, I do that? I did do that. Because she loved me, but she would not love her kids less when I'm abusive toward them with my screaming and yelling. And she wouldn't put up with it. And finally she said, look, we never thought about divorce or having, you know, marital fallout that way, but it was serious enough. Well, we weren't getting along anymore. And she in passion said to me, you need to change. I'm like, what do you mean I need to change? If those kids listen better, if you wouldn't be so soft, if you stop this. She goes, that's the problem. You don't think you do anything wrong. I said, I don't. You know how long it took me to make that correction? 8 to 10 years. I'm not kidding you. It took 8 to 10 years of diligent conversation, getting away on the weekends twice a year to discuss how I was doing. Because my relationship with her was too important to not do that. And just to assume things were going well. They're not going well. When you have those kind of conflicts in your relationship, you need to address them. And if you don't, you're going to grow apart. And at some point in your relationship, you'll either get to a tipping point and that individual say, look, I can't take this anymore. Because let me tell you something, guys. There's always a man out there that wants to connect emotionally with your wife. And the things that she's missing, he'll supply. Now, he's not there trying to fall in love with her. He's trying to be motivated with some other motivation. But because her emotional tank is on empty, because you're not listening and you're not hearing and you're not investing and you're not trying to communicate, we just do things together. We are not being together. She'll become vulnerable. So how do we protect that? Revisit common interests. Invest your time into passionate interests of your spouse. Hey, look, ladies, if your husband loves to work on cars, and he's out in the garage. He's always out. Yeah, George is out in the garage again. He's always out there. Why don't you put a pair of coveralls on and roll up under the car with him? Why wouldn't you do that? Because let me tell you something. The hot chick across the street sees George over there, and he might come over and go, hey, George, what you doing? Oh, you're so strong. You're able to move. Wow, would you teach me how to do that? I'll punch her lights out. You won't even know because you're in the phone talking to that woman that you can't get off the phone with. You talk with her for 2 hours a day. That's why George is in the garage in the first place. You follow what I'm saying? All right. I know it's Sunday morning. Actively serve the goal of your spouse and help make it a reality. Here are some things that I believe you need to conduct interviews on as you go through the cycles of relationship. Number one, physical. I used to tease Tina all the time. It didn't go over very well. She didn't laugh. I did. This thing called PMS. I don't know if you've ever heard those initials before. PMS. Here's what they stand for. Pretend mommy's sick. I'm like, girl, you need to get it together. Interview your spouse on the physical level. Talk to them. How has your life changed? Guys, if you don't get this as a young married couple, that about cyclically every month, your wife is going to be different, and there's a reason for it, and it's not pretend. It's very real. And you have to understand that. You should prepare for that. You should cover her. You should strengthen her during those times. You ought to make sure the vulnerabilities are not there. Why? Because she is in a physical place that she has need of your investment. And vice versa. As you age, physically, things change. I don't want to get into all that, but I'm just saying do an interview. How about emotional? How about intellectual? How about financial? Our health, general health. What about recreation or social? Honey, what interests you? What would you like to do? Well, I've always, my wife loves thrift stores. Some of you like thrift stores. I don't like thrift stores. I care less about thrift stores. If it's in a thrift store, it means somebody didn't want it. And if somebody didn't want it, I don't want it either. That's how I look at it. I got this sinus infection going on. I'm like, yeah. Tina says, we need to find a rocking chair. Mary wants a rocking chair. I said, well, let Mary go get a rocking chair. She goes, no, we need to help her because she wants to give this woman whose daughter just had a baby. I said, all right, right. She goes, let's go to Habitat for Humanity on 110th Street in Cleveland, and would you like to go with me? I said, oh, sweetheart, I'd love to go with you. But I went with her because I knew she wanted me to go with her. And I'm walking through there, I'm going, this stuff is absolute junk. But I didn't say that, because he is like, oh, wow, look at this window. I'm like, that's a window. So learning how to investigate your spouse's interests and pretend you have interest too. What about grandparenting? What is it to be a grandparent? Have you ever talked about it? What's your role? Is it just to hand out money and candy when they show up? Or do you have a purpose with your grandkids? What do they need from a grandparent? Have you ever read a book on grandparenting? Probably not. Why not? Have you had a conversation about how you two can be the most effective grandparents in their lives? What's the prayer points for your grandchildren? What's the Holy Spirit showing you, sweetie? Having a conversation about the cycle that you're in. What about retirement? You know, so many guys, they can't really wait to get to retirement. They're like, man, I can't really wait to retire. Then they find a part-time job. Because not because they need the money as much as their wife says, are you going to be home all day? It's like all of a sudden I'm living life with you here. I don't want to do that. Can you go somewhere? Talk about retirement. Have an invested interest in that area. Or how about your friendships? Who's your best friend outside of our relationship? Who do you value? Why? Would you like to have more friendships? What can I do to assist you in that area? Can I show myself more friendly? I find myself sometimes saying to Tina, you know, I really don't want to go there. I'm around people all the time. I just need some space. She goes, that may be true, but I really like these people. I want to be involved in them. I want to get a relationship going. I said, okay, well, let's do that. But you have to understand the other person's need greater than your own, but you won't know that if you don't have a conversation. So have a conversation to discover your spouse's perspective. What's their perspective on where they're going, what they're going through, and what they're seeing? If we don't have those conversations, you're going to start out like this, and as the years go by, you're going to find yourselves on the opposite end of the spectrum. That's often why couples will divorce at 40 years of marriage, at 30 years of marriage. You know, the first couple years is like the honeymoon, but after that, it's the real deal. When kids start coming along and you start seeing different perspectives, you don't take time to listen to each other, suddenly that's why this question was asked. What do you do when you recognize you and your spouse have changed goals or changed in relationship or growing apart? By the time you recognize it, it's way beyond where you should have started. You got to start doing that now. It's preventive maintenance. You got to start having heartfelt conversations and say, can I just tell you something honestly? When you do that, that hurts my feelings. Don't just say, well, that he always does that. I just have to overlook it. No, tell him. But tell him in the right setting. Or, you know, when you say that, let me give you an instance. I'll just become real vulnerable. The other day, Tina and I got in a spat. 45 years in, right? We got in a little argument. Not argument. I hurt her feelings. But she hurt mine. You hurt me, I hurt you. That's the way it works. You want to know how dumb that little hurt feeling thing was? Two Sundays ago, Palm Sunday, I'm in Lorraine on the West Church. I get a nut roll. I get a nut roll from a lady that makes nut roll like my mother used to make nut roll. Ain't nobody else can make nut roll like her. When she comes into church and I'm looking at her hand, come Palm Sunday, because she gives them to me for Christmas and she gives it to me for Easter. And here she came. She's walking down. I'm like, oh, she's got a nut roll. She gives me this nut roll. She said, Pastor, I brought you the nut roll. I said, oh, thank you so much. She's been doing this for 30 years, a long time. So she can't stop now. So I had my nut roll. I had my nut roll, and I took it home. Now, the next weekend, we were having an outreach in Avon. A meet and greet, and there was about 100 people there. On the way there, she's cutting up the nut roll. And I said, what are you doing with the nut roll? She said, I thought I'd take some to the outreach in case anybody wanted anyone. I said, you won't give away my nut roll. I did, I swear. I said, you'll give away my nut roll. Marlon, that's why you didn't get no nut roll. She said, well, the kids are going to be there. And I said, I don't care. I said, that nut roll was given to me, and now you're going to give it to a bunch of church people I don't even know? She said, I can't believe you just said that. I said, well, I can't believe I did either, but I mean, I don't, I mean, I want people, I said, I want people to have it, but I don't, I just don't want them to get this nut roll. Like, if we, we'll stop and get some cookies. But why do you want to cut up my nut roll? She said, I can't believe you said that. She starts crying. I can't believe you said that. All I'm trying to do is be a blessing to our kids and our, the people that are working, and I just wanted to give them something. And you're being mean. I'm like, oh, wow, this is getting out of control. I swear, this got out of control. Time out, girlfriend, because I am not being mean. That's my nut roll. I swear, this happened. This happened. This is not being made up. So I said, then I said the classic thing. Take the nut roll. I don't care. She goes, no, I'm not taking any of it. And she threw it in the refrigerator and slams the door. She said, let's go. I said, I'm not going. Not like this. I'm not going. I said, we got to make up. I'm not ready. We get in the car. It's quiet. Coming over to the outreach. Park the car. Get out. Walk up. Hey, praise the Lord. How y'all doing? Good. How you doing? How's it going? So we walk up. Tina goes that way. I go this way. And that's good. You stay over there. I'm like really processing this. Don't know why I'm upset about the nut roll. So I go sit in the car. It was cold. I went in the car. And she comes walking in. She opens up the door. She says, can we talk? I said, sure. She starts crying. She said, I just don't get it. Why you were so... I said, I don't know either. I don't know why. And I'm starting to cry. I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Next day, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be spiritual. But I was in prayer. Holy Spirit said, this is why that meant so much to you. You didn't know it at the time, but underneath, you associated that nut roll with your mother and your wife's disregard for what she is in your life. I went, oh my gosh, that is weird. So I went back and I told Tina, I said, look, hey, I think it was because I associated that with my closeness with my mom. It's one thing that I remember her for, and you were going to give that away, and I wasn't going to have it on Easter. I know that sounds stupid, but I think that's what it was. She goes, you need therapy. Question number two. We need to move on right there, right? Question number two. By the way, we're all good now. We're healed up. We're not mad at each other. She loves me. I love her. I sat down yesterday and had a piece of that nut roll with a glass of milk. I said, thank you, Jesus. All right, number two. How do you get through a divorce and believe God has a plan for your life? That's a tough question. Because the church has been so negative toward people who have gone through divorce. And I'm sorry that that happened. If you've ever gone through a divorce and you've been stereotyped by churches or pastors or religious people that have said you're a failure, you've sinned, there's something wrong with you, man, I am so sorry. That's not the case. What do you do to get through a divorce? How can you rebuild your life? And does God have a plan for you? Of course he does. God promises to make all things new. Is that right? According to Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Does that mean a divorced person's life? Absolutely. He makes all things new. Because divorce, if you don't understand, divorce is much like a death. It's a very deep sense of loss. And there's a grieving process. Minister Terry Bell, I don't know if she's here today, but she does grief counseling session of benevolence when you actually lose a person. But when you go through a divorce, it's as though you've lost a person physically. Know that you're in the grieving process and that you're sensing loss, and understand you need help during that time. You need support during that time. That is so important. In church, we ought to speak up. You know, when you go to a funeral, you don't know what to say. You're like, sorry about your loss. Why don't you ask about the dad? Why don't you ask about the mom? Why don't you say, tell me some of your best memories of your child? Because they want to talk about them. When a person goes through a divorce, don't just ignore them and go, well, they're here by themselves, or I heard so-and-so left her or left him. The point being is, hey, I can understand. You must be going through a lot of emotions right now. Just want you to know I'm your friend. Sometimes we just have to open up and be that support to those individuals. And realize this, that when you're going through a divorce, you're going through that time and need that. There comes a time in your relationship, though, that you're going to have to no longer accept responsibility for the failure in that marriage. Because the enemy will try to tell you it was your fault. Your extended family will tell you it was your fault. Church people will tell you it is your fault. Friends, let me tell you something. They've got to come to a place where you say, I am no longer taking responsibility for this. I'm laying it at the feet of Jesus. Because if you try to carry responsibility for that, the enemy will just grind you up and he will spit you out. Number three, after you've no longer accept responsibility, you must focus on your renewing your relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, don't try to change what happened by reliving the memory, but focusing on what God has planned for you for your future. If you can get your mind centered on your better tomorrow, it will save you from making poor choices in your today. Let me give you an experience. In 2012, the West Campus took a real hit financially. We had people move away. We had people leave the church. Had former staff members that left the church. Had a lot of stuff happen. And our finances dropped about $3,000 a week. That's a substantial amount of income. I had to go to the staff, and I said, good, guys, can you take a 10% cut? If you'll do that, we'll try to pay it back to you. If we ever sell property or get a chunk of money, I'll take a 10% as well. Plus, I took all my retirement money and I set it aside. And I said, I'm not going to take that. So I took about another 30% cut. But I did that so that we could stay solvent. In 2013, all we did was break even from 2012. Maybe a 1% increase. I could have very easily interpreted the events of 2012 and 2013's poor recovery as God saying, you're finished, Lou. Somebody else can do it better than you. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? Why don't you go sell cars? I could have done that because I thought that. When you're going through a divorce, if you're not careful, you'll allow the present circumstances to overwhelm and to dictate and to landscape your future, thinking that there's no hope and there's no help in the tomorrow. In 2014, however, we had a slight increase. So we're starting to get back on our feet. In 2015, I just got the report. We've increased 10 to 15%. April 10th, we're starting the Avon location. We're now acquiring a facility in Wycliffe. Valley View, you guys picked up the slack in the last 3 to 4 months of 2015, and we actually have a reserve of $30,000 in our account at the year's end of 2015. Now, if I would have made decisions based on what I was experiencing in 12, 13, and 14, I wouldn't have been here to experience all the glory that God's doing now. So you cannot make decisions in your present based on your past. You've got to look forward to what God said in His Word. Challenge yourself with the Word and don't submit to your feelings of inadequacy. Look for the place that you're believing lies. Sorry. Look for the place where you're believing lies. The unbelieving heart, Hebrews 3:12. Sorry about that, folks. Hebrews 3:12 talks about the unbelieving heart. You and I have to look for places where we're believing lies. You could say, well, I must not be very attractive anymore because he left me for that other woman. She is more glamorous. She's younger. She has this going, or he has that going for her. Him, he has this. She must not like me anymore. Listen, if you begin to believe those lies, they're going to take a place in your heart, and you're going to live your life based on a lie. and you're going to be defeated. You have to begin to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, I am important, and I am smart. And sorry for you, Charlie, because you just lost out. You got to get a better attitude about yourself, because God created you beautiful. God created you to be an amazing person. So don't let people redefine you based on their choices. Now, remember, there's no condemnation in Christ. Choose the good. Always locate your passion in God and do it. You know what people that go through divorces often do? They isolate themselves. They say, well, I'm not going to go. It's going to be a bunch of married people there. And, you know, now I'm single. And all the women, if I show up, are going to be looking at whether or not I'm after their man. Look, you don't have to worry about somebody after your man if you've got your man. You know what I mean? I ain't got to worry about Tina. I don't care what you offer her. You cannot touch me. I got this. And the other way around, she's got it. There's some beautiful people out there, some handsome people out there. But guess what? We're connected. Realize that when you come as a single person, don't isolate yourself. Come in bold. Come in with gifting. Come in with confidence. And know that you're going to make a difference in no matter what setting you're in, because God has a plan for your life. You've got to change the way you think. Chart your future based on what God said, not what you've experienced. Release your gifting daily and define yourself by God's plan and destiny and not by what others say you have done or are responsible for. I'm going to close here. The reason why I have to close a little bit early is Tina and I are going to take a couple weeks vacation. And I got to go catch an airplane. And it boards at 2:05. And I'm going to be like really close. I'll get there. But anyway, when I walk off and Pastor Bramley comes, you know why I'm doing that. Don't underestimate a community of faith. You need solid Christian relationships in your life on every level, but especially if you've gone through a divorce. You need people to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. You need to tell people in your life to tell you the truth so that they can undergird you in the times of your self-doubting, because you're going to have a lot of self-doubts. I had a lot of self-doubts in 2012. It tormented me. 2013, 2014. And then we had never had financial struggles here at Valley View. When we started 8 years ago, always met the needs. All of a sudden now, we're not meeting the need. I'm like, okay, there's another reason why I shouldn't be here anymore. And it's reinforced, what, based on the past. But now on the future, I am so thankful I didn't make poor decisions based on the past, because I would have missed this opportunity to shake Tony's hand, to shake others' hands, to meet people that I don't even know yet that are going to come to Wycliffe and be saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to meet their children. I'm going to have dinner with them. I'm going to have exciting times in the future in Avon. And if I would have backed out, I would have missed all those opportunities. Finally, believe God's promises that you are a beautiful creation in Him. And don't put on the cloak of despair or the hat of sorrow. You have to walk around with a fake smile until you can make a smile. Don't give in to circumstances, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, in the upcoming weeks, I don't know how we're going to get through all these. I only made 10 questions. I thought I was going to do them all in one Sunday. I don't even have Tina here, and I can't get through two of them. But how do we communicate with love instead of blame and nitpicking each other? That's one of the questions. How do you come to an agreement in financing and budgeting? When you know the answer to that, could you let me know? How do I discuss my failures in life as a Christian to my spouse? There's a lot of fear in that relationship. How do I talk to my spouse about something they seem to have no concern or interest when I'm trying to share? That's a potential time bomb. And how do I learn to communicate better and to start a conversation. I can guarantee you that's a couple that's been married some time and they've grown apart. We'll tell you how to grow back together again. Why? Not because we're perfect, but Tina and I have done this many times over 45 years. We've never been like this the whole time, and neither have you. And that's why we're sharing this. This is important. The Holy Spirit showed me discovering healthy relationships, because if the relationship at home is not strong, you can't be a strong leader. If your relationship as a parent isn't in order, you're not going to come in here and volunteer and be a great dynamic worship leader. You see, the church depends on strong families. And if we can make an effort together to be strong in our families and our marriages and make them a priority and say, you know what, this is God's plan, then we're going to strengthen the local church. It's not all about money or attendance. Anybody can get a crowd. The point being is we want people that are healthy and strong in the Lord and able to know who they are in Christ. And my prayer for you today is that your marriage would be strong, your relationships would be bright in the future, and that even though you've gone through some failures and trouble in the past, know that it's not over, because God is a God of restoration. How many believe that? Amen. Pastor Bramley, would you mind coming up and closing this service for us? He's going to do that for me, and I'm going to run out, and I'm sorry I have to go, but it was that flight's time. They had it at 3:30 originally, which was plenty of time, and they moved it to 2:40. And if we're not there for boarding, we can risk not getting our ticket because we're flying standby. So thank you so much for understanding us. Pastor Troy will be here to minister the word. I heard he's got a really exciting panel that he's going to use of young adults. So I think that's going to be very, very exciting. Don't forget midweeks as well. And then the Discovering Healthy Relationship booklet with all the questions that we didn't address, I answered and typed out for your help. And thanks for your gift today to the Wycliffe Project. God bless you. Pastor Bramley, thank you, sir. All right. See you later. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Isn't it awesome that we have a pastor and a leader that cares enough about us to answer our questions during a Sunday morning service? Amen. We thank God for Pastor Kenton, and talking about relationships and healthy relationships is so important. The church is made up of relationships, as he said before. The most important relationship that we should have is the relationship with Jesus Christ. If our relationship with him lines up the way it's supposed to, all the other relationships should have any problem. We shouldn't have any problems. I tell my wife, and she tells me, she's not first in my life, God is. She's told me the same thing. You're not first in my life, God is. And we understand that and we accept that because we know how important it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There may be someone here today that has not had that privilege yet to get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, this is an opportunity. We come to church for many different reasons. Sometimes we come to hear the praise and worship team, and we have an awesome praise and worship team. Sometimes we come just to pray. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we come just to pray and to seek the Lord's face. But every once in a while, someone comes seeking to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And this is the place, this is the time. God is a God of time. He works on time. This may be the time right now for you to come forward and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I say to you today, no relationship is more important than the relationship with Jesus. God gave his son for us. He gave his son that we one day could come into a fellowship with him and be able to experience eternity in a place other than the place that we were originally intended to go. I want to ask you today to stand. We'll ask that our altar workers will come forward. Altar workers, come forward, please. Church, would ask that you would stand. If there's anyone here today, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to come. If there's anyone here that maybe you just need to have prayer. Maybe you want to have a better relationship with Jesus. Maybe you want to know and understand that the things that you're going through, He still loves you. God still loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And this is your opportunity today to come to know Him as Lord and Savior if you don't. We just want to pray right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for the message today. We thank you for our pastor. We ask you to take him safely to his destination right now in Jesus' name. And those that are here today that need to have a touch from you, we ask that you would touch them, Father, in a special way in Jesus' name. Those that don't know you, Father, open up their heart to receive what you have for them in Jesus' name. For Father, you gave your son that we might have the right to the tree of life. And he gave his life willingly just for you and just for me. Father, we thank you today. We glorify your name. We know that you are, without you, we can do nothing. For in you we live and move and have our being. And we praise you today for all that you are and all that we have done for us in Jesus' name. We thank you. We glorify your name right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.